special report, the Iowa caucuses. I'm Dave Packer. A historic win for former President Trump.
We want to thank the great people of Iowa. Thank you. We love you all.
Winning last night's Iowa caucuses by the largest margin ever. ABC's M. Nguyen is in Des Moines with what motivated caucus goers.
On the issues most important to Iowa caucus goers, the economy was number one, followed closely by immigration, issues Trump has made central to his platform, helping him finish Iowa with more than 50%. Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley far behind. DeSantis invested heavily in Iowa, visiting all 99 counties, holding more campaign events than Haley and Trump combined. Many experts called Iowa a make-or-break moment for his campaign, as recent polls showed Haley gaining ground.
Next stop, New Hampshire, with a January 23rd primary. It could be less decisive for Trump, given that independents and undeclared voters can participate there. This is ABC News. New warnings about artificial intelligence and your job. The International Monetary Fund now says AI will likely disrupt nearly 40% of jobs worldwide. Some big winners at the Emmys. ABC's Jason Nathanson in Hollywood.
Succession.
Six wins for the final season of HBO's Succession, including Best Drama, Best Actress for Sarah Snook, and Best Actor for Kieran Culkin, who used his acceptance speech to tell his wife, Jazz, he wants more kids.
You said maybe if I win.
The FX series The Bear, also with six wins, including Best Comedy, and Best Comedy Actress went to Abbott Elementary's Quinta Brunson, the first black woman to win the award since the Jeffersons' Isabel Sanford did it 42 years ago.
Thank you so much. I don't even know why I'm so emotional.
Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
And the first round of the NFL playoffs wrapping up with a Monday doubleheader. The Buffalo Bills advancing after beating the Steelers, and the Buccaneers bouncing the Eagles out of the playoffs. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
This is John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt. And together we're Mino and the Mayor on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
As our audience grows, we're looking to find an experienced outside marketing professional to join our civic media team to work with local business owners who want to grow.
Not only does WGBW reach qualified radio listeners, we help business owners reach customers on their mobile phones, tablets, even on screens at the gas pump.
The person who joins our team needs to be as motivated as we are to bring great local radio to Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. Someone with a creative streak and no fear of introducing themselves and us to the Green Bay business community.
If you're listening to us now, imagine how many others are and how we can help business owners reach the customers they want to do business with.
To apply, email me directly. My name is Chris Morrow, Vice President of Sales. My email address is chris.moreau@civicmedia.us. chris.moreau@civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin have had to endure the coldest weather of the winter so far without power to heat their homes and businesses. Most of the outages are in southeast Wisconsin, where We Energy says it expects to have all the power back on by midday Tuesday. Arctic air is forecasted to keep highs in the single digits through Tuesday. A bipartisan bill would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana. Under the bill, anyone with less than 14 grams would not face criminal charges but would have to pay a $100 fine. It would also lower the penalties for being caught a second time. Several Wisconsin cities have already decriminalized possessing small amounts of marijuana. Assembly Republicans introduced a bill to legalize medical marijuana last week. I'm Nate Wiggehow, Civic Media News.
Marquette with a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, Marquette got a much-needed victory over Villanova, 87-74. The Golden Eagles had lost three of their last five games. Head coach Shaka Smart.
There had to be some doubt, and I thought the guys did a great job of overcoming that.
Smart says they had a special guest speaker before the game, former Marquette and NBA star Dwayne Wade.
D. Wade gave the pregame talk, and he said, you guys have to win today. I thought our guys did play with a level of desperation and commitment to what goes into winning, even as Villanova was raining threes in the first half.
NFL, it's the Packers against the 49ers Saturday night. Matt LaFleur on that throw from Jordan Love to Dontavian Wicks in their win over the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, that cover zero play that he ripped that post to Wicks. I mean, that was one of those plays that just, you could sit there and watch that all day long.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
It is bitterly cold out there this morning, and that is going to be the case for a pretty good chunk of the day today. Wind chill minus 25 to minus 35. It'll be mostly cloudy, breezy, high of 1 above today. Tonight, 2 below, but not as windy. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, with a high right around 8. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below zero.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Another day of NFL playoff football.
Yeah, eight teams left.
That's
and one
it,
of them
baby.
Is going to win the Super Bowl.
Yes, I was. You know, who was my favorite player in the NFL?
Who's that?
Other than Jordan Love.
Oh yeah, you
Baker
like
Baker Mayfield.
I was just going to say that you like that Tampa.
Love
guy.
Baker Mayfield. He's got an attitude.
Yeah.
He's got a certain, like, bleep you.
Yeah.
And I love that guy.
Yeah.
So enjoyed watching him last night. I'm going to tell you the one thing that pissed me off, if I can say that. Is it okay to say that, Todd? Too late now.
It's one of those, right, ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Ask for permission.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Okay,
Packers,
go ahead.
Packers special teams coach.
Did you see him?
Yeah.
Coming out of the locker room?
Yeah. You know
like
what?
That?
Yeah, I'm full-blooded Italian. Okay?
As is
full-blooded Italian. Every person in my family is from Italy. So I'm going to say this, and if anybody wants to challenge me, I don't care. Okay? Hey, you fat little wop. Shut your mouth. You've got a kicker. You're the special teams coach, and your kicker has missed more extra points than anybody in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, mouthing off and saying, hey, how about those Cowboys? Like, you've done something. You've done nothing.
Oh.
You're the worst special teams coach in the National Football League. Shut the hell up.
Oh, they're paying him a lot of money,
I think. Paying him a lot of money, and he's done nothing. He's got the worst kicker in the National Football League. He's a special teams coach. How about this? Shut up and have your guy kick extra points instead of mouthing off.
Yeah.
Ooh, that ticked me off when I saw that.
Yeah.
You fat little worthless piece of garbage. Shut up.
I know. I didn't.
That's just how I feel about that.
I guess.
That's the only negative about the Packers win. When I saw that, you cocky little piece of garbage.
Yeah.
How about them Cowboys? You've done nothing to give the Packers wins this year. You've been a detriment.
Yeah.
You've been terrible. You should have been fired halfway through the season because your kicker can't kick an extra point.
Right.
Shut up.
Would you have been okay if Jordan Love said that? Because, I mean,
I would have been totally okay if Jordan Love said that.
Because I think that's
rubbing
it in. But
this guy's a total failure.
Yeah, okay.
Was it Bashilia or whatever the hell his name is?
Yeah.
Well, he's worthless, and he's cocking off like that. That just pissed me off.
No, I see that. I thought that was like...
a lame thing.
Well, I thought it was kind of unprofessional. But I thought
totally
it was kind of funny, too, because I said that quite a bit yesterday.
Any other person in the organization could have said that, but this guy's a total failure.
No.
Bashilia, whatever the hell your name is, whatever you do, you're a total failure this year. You're nothing. You're garbage. Your kicker is the worst kicker in the NFL.
True that.
And here you are spouting off, walking behind the head coach like you've accomplished something.
Yeah.
You're nothing.
Yeah.
You're a failure.
Okay.
Shut up.
Yeah. Wow. I would agree that I much prefer somebody who...
Hi,
you
Todd.
Know, walks the talk. Yeah, good morning. John, how are you? John, just
good.
Sleep last night, Johnny.
Good morning.
Yeah, let's get that.
Good morning. Hey, 72 and sunny.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
No,
it just ticked me off when I saw that.
And that guy was a head coach, too, wasn't he?
He was a head coach. Wow. He got fired from that. But it's like, you know what? Your kicker has missed more extra points than I think anybody in the history of the NFL. You're his coach, and you're walking behind the coach. You're this little, you know who he is? He's the miserable little toady Grover Dill.
Didn't see it.
Grover Dill? He is Grover Dill, the Packers special teams coach.
Todd.
Bashilia, whatever that Dago's name is. And again, I'm full-blooded Italian. Everybody in my family's from Italy. I don't care. I can call a Dago, okay?
Right. You didn't see it.
He's Grover Dill, that miserable little toady.
Who? Todd, do you know who Grover Dill is?
I don't.
Aha. Johnny, I didn't see it. Okay.
So here's how my mind works.
But you don't want to get into your...
No, I'm going to tell you who Grover Dill is.
Okay, but I want to stay on your good side because...
He is Grover Dill. The Packers special teams coach is Grover Dill.
All right. Grover Dill.
Don't you know who Grover Dill is?
I don't think I do.
Okay. You know what? We got these really cool coffee mugs, right, Todd?
Yeah.
I'm going to give a coffee mug first person to text us to explain Grover Dill.
All right, let's do that because Todd and I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think I do now.
Okay. Oh, yes, because you Googled it.
Yeah, text?
I did, but as soon as I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
First texter, Woods a Coffee Cup, mine on the mayor.
Leave it to Beaver?
No.
I will say this. We did get a text in just now that said, agree with you, John. I was embarrassed by that.
That was terrible. I couldn't believe it. He's a total failure this year. He's the worst coach in the NFL. He's the worst coach in the National Football League. He has failed more than anybody in the National Football League. And here he is walking this fat little strut. How about them Cowboys? You don't deserve to say that.
Yeah, I would
agree with
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, do I deserve to say it? Because I said it a lot.
Who's Grover Dill? Go ahead. Do we have a text yet?
Have something to do with Ralphie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the two little bullies? You got the one guy, Scott Farkas.
What show are we
Christmas
talking about?
Christmas Story. Remember the bullies? Scott Farkas?
Yeah.
He had yellow eyes. I swear to God, he had yellow eyes. Remember? And his miserable little toady Grover Dill. He was a short little fat kid. Because he was friends of the tough guy, so he acted like he was tough.
Ah.
And that's who Bashilia, where the hell his name is, that's who he is.
Okay. I just want to agree with you because I don't want to get on your bad side today.
That kid actually grew up. He's really buff now. Oh. He kind of looks like Big Wayne, to be honest with
Come
you.
Come on.
I looked at him like, is that Wayne standing there? No.
You got him. Which one?
The guy.
Scott Farkas or Grover Dill?
Grover Dill.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe that was Wayne. Maybe. When Wayne was a kid, he was Grover Dill in Christmas Story.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
It's 7 degrees below zero in Green Bay, 6 below in Appleton, 6 below in Oshkosh. Yeah. I just need to get that off my chest.
No, that's good. I agree. I think there should be some professionalism.
Win with class.
Yeah.
And if you're a failure as a coach, as that guy is, shut up.
Yeah. I agree.
But anyway.
But. You know, I'm going to ask, we have somebody coming on. That's Steve Brown.
Yes, Brownlee from Marquette, Michigan.
Okay.
Sports editor of the Marquette Mining Journal.
Right.
And there is nobody, trust me, there is nobody that knows the ins and outs of the Green Bay Packers and Detroit Lion fanhood more than this guy. Because I guarantee you, if he wrote a good article on the Packers, every Lion fan would call him and complain.
Yeah.
If he wrote a great article on the Lions, every Packer fan would call him and complain. So we're going to get him on, see what it's like, because this is unprecedented. The Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions winning playoff games on the exact same day.
Headed on the same collision course.
Yes.
So there's 300,000 people, right, about up there in the UP.
That many?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
The split you said was 60-40. Did you say that
but
yesterday?
300,000 people in the UP?
Wait.
I mean, Marquette's the biggest city. It's probably got about 12,000, maybe 15.
That's a lot of land, though.
It does say 301,000.
In the UP?
That's what
it
says.
Wow, that's a lot more than I thought.
But that's a small percent of Michigan, though, right, Todd?
Tiny.
That's got to have, what, 10 million?
Minuscule.
How many people in Michigan? 7, 8, 9? We have 5 here. 5 million in Wisconsin.
I have
10.5 million.
So that's doubles. 10 million, that's a lot of people. But it's amazing because even if you look at bigger cities, there's a lot of people that live out, you know, there's a lot of land up there. Anyway, 300, what did you say this? Well, I'll ask Steve when he comes on what the split is up there. Is it more Michigan, or I mean, is it more Detroit, or is it
like
more,
I said? It's all Michigan. Just what I always found.
We should own that. It should be Wisconsin.
I think so too. I think it's about half. I think it's like from Marquette East is about 60% Lions fans, and about Marquette West is about 70% Packers fans.
Yeah,
I mean, I've got members of my own family that are diehard Lions fans.
Well, I'm happy for them. I am. It's been a long, long time, but no, I think this is going to be good. I don't know that we're going to see each other. I hope we do, but I don't. It's going to be a tough game. I said Wednesday we'd start talking about San Francisco, but you know this. I want to ask Steve this. I'll ask you this because you covered the sports for 40 years. You know how these guys say, well, we don't read what's in the paper. We don't. Yet then after they win, it's like all the naysayers.
Get such a kick out of that.
Do they read they read the paper, right?
Who?
Do the players, they look at the
They get a paper delivered on their doorstep, but on the old internet.
Probably more social media stuff.
Right? Absolutely. But what I'm saying,
there still paper boys?
Yes.
Are there?
There's your part-time job.
I know, right?
Right here, man. He delivered 4:30. It's great.
Really?
Yeah, every day.
Okay.
Except Saturdays. But
really?
The paper gets delivered every day to my...
Not Saturdays?
No.
Why?
Well, they stopped Saturdays a while ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just cheap. What I was asking, though, was they say they don't look at what people are saying, yet after they win, they talk about, they kind of seem to reference what people were saying. So I guess my question to Steve and to you a little bit is, do they read up on what people are saying, or do they block it out and just laser focus?
They read it.
That's what I thought.
They read it.
They say
and everyone says, every coach that says, I don't pay any attention.
Right.
Bull.
They do.
They pay total attention. That's such a lie.
Well, that's kind of what I thought because of what they say after the game.
Yeah.
John, did you take a lot of grief from viewers back in the day when you were covering?
Not actually, you know what I took grief from? I'll never forget this. When I worked in Flint and I got letters. I remember one time I got two letters in 1 week and they're ripping me because I had too big of a smile on my face talking about the Lions' loss.
Oh.
Because I hated the Lions.
Yeah.
And I was covering the Lions.
And it came through.
And I had this big smile on my face. And today, the New York Giants knocked out the Lions 34-7. Let's take a look at those highlights. And people got really ticked off.
I follow Rob Domofsky on social media.
I talked to Rob last night, actually.
Boy, he takes a lot of heat on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, people are just vicious to him.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Like, why? I like him.
Because they think that he wasn't covering the Packers fair this year or blah, blah, blah. You know, it's always something.
Okay. But he's pretty impartial, right? I mean, don't you think?
Rob is the best. Rob is one of the best reporters in the National Football League. He's the best.
He's been on here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I texted him last night. His son is a great basketball player at DePere.
Right.
And they had a phenomenal game against Wisconsin Lutheran, whose superstar is going to Duke.
Oh,
whose
wow.
mom is Sherry Nordgaard, who's a great basketball player at Green Bay, sister of Jeff Nordgaard.
Yeah.
And his dad is Con Knipple, who played college basketball and actually played for me in the Nagani Invitational Tournament 1 year.
Wow.
So I think this kid, who's a top recruit in the state of Wisconsin, I think a lot of that like filters down from my coaching towards his dad.
I'm sure. and the fact that he's in Duke.
He's going to Duke.
Because John went to Mesabi, and then he went to that school that you had a fog
where
of mirror to get
where
into.
Where I learned how to read a teleprompter.
And then there's Duke. It must be
Community
a smart
College
kid.
In Arizona State, baby. High academics were not a priority.
John didn't want
to. But I had a really good time. Really good.
Yeah.
All right, we're just getting started here today. Mono the mayor. Hey, I don't like lamb.
Oh.
I'll tell you why.
All right.
I'm going to tell you why.
You didn't text Back me. I figured that.
The talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Her name is Pam Yonke. But you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right. And the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the civic media team on your local station, WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, on WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor, getting it going here on a Tuesday morning. It is cold, ladies and gentlemen. At least it's not super windy out there yet.
No, but it was cold this morning.
But 7 below 0, man, you got kids. Put a scarf around their head. Geez Louise, I hate it when I see kids walking to school and they don't have mittens on or their ears are uncovered. And come on.
And don't let your dog out too long. It's cold,
dogs,
man.
Dogs, come on. Yeah. They can handle. Okay, what did dogs do like 1,000 years ago? They survived.
Same thing we did. I mean, we survived. You know, we didn't have ear bundle up. I mean, we're a tougher species, I think, back then. I do. But I agree.
But dogs, come on, they can handle it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my dog was not out very long this morning.
Well, your dog is, yeah.
He was like,
don't ever get me started on that.
Let me back in. Usually runs around.
Him and the Packer special teams coach are out.
Oh, man, don't ever put him in that category.
Is he Italian? Let me rip some Italian heritage on him, too. No, but let me just say this. Okay, animals survived, a billion years or how many million years, they say, the Earth's been around with living creatures. And dogs were like one of the first things.
No, they weren't.
And they said, yeah, they were.
Okay. All right. Maybe they were.
You think cavemen didn't have dogs? They had dogs.
I don't know. I think
they did.
Okay.
Okay. Right, which one of us was like basically an archaeologist? Me.
Since when?
I was a big fan of archaeology.
At Mesabi?
I studied fossils. That's going to be my next career.
Oh, boy.
I got this text. Remember doing a book report on George Plimpton's paper line in the fifth grade? I'm a Packer fan first, but I always liked the Lions. I remember that movie, too. And that was cool. Back in its day, that was cool, the George Plimpton story. When he played quarterback for the Lions for a training camp. Terrible movie. It wasn't a good movie. It was really bad. But it was a great book, the paper line. You know that one, right? Alan Alda played George Plimpton.
Really?
You don't know that one?
Well,
nope. Okay. That says tell your lamb story. I'm going to tell you my lamb story.
Well, okay. Don't hurt my feelings.
I'm not going to hurt your feelings. It has nothing to do with you.
Okay.
So you gave me a lamb.
So I bought leg of lamb. And we used to have that all the time when we were kids. So then I thought I would.
We never had lamb when I was a kid. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay. So anyway, I just want to say, so I baked it and I made the like what's on? I that's my own little recipe.
You had sage in there, didn't you?
Yes,
I could taste the sage.
And then I baked it. I was going to put it on the grill. I told you that, but
I like
too cold.
Baked chicken with sage.
Okay,
go ahead.
So I made that, and then I cut up a small piece for you because you said you hadn't had lamb.
You had
gyros before, which is lamb, but not the same.
Although I'm not a big fan of the gyro.
Okay,
and then, I would take a sub sandwich over a gyro.
Oh, not me. Okay. And then the garlic that was in there. Because I made the slits in there and put the garlic in. Yeah. That was Wayne's garlic.
Yeah, it's good garlic.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. Anyway, so I gave that to you. And then right before we went to break, you said you don't like lamb. So that kind of hurt my feelings. But maybe you can explain that to our listeners.
So I'm eating it. Okay, last night. And it's like, this is seasoned really good. And I could taste the sage. And it's like, there's like something in my mind. That's like, why? It's like, I grew up where we ate everything. I mean, we ate every piece of a cow, every piece of a pig, I remember one time my dad, it's like, what are you eating? He's like, calf brains. Did you guys ever eat calf brains?
My mom was like
your
that.
Your mom too, hey?
Yep.
Yeah.
We had tongue.
Tongue? Yeah.
A lot. Yep. My dad loved that.
Heart.
Absolutely.
Right.
Heart.
Okay.
So we ate everything.
Right.
Okay? And I'm eating this. It's like, it's kind of an acquired taste.
Well, it is. I told you that.
I know.
Lamb tastes like lamb.
But here's the thing. It's like, why did I never have lamb in my life? And it hit me. My dad told this story about during the Depression, when nobody was working, everybody was out of work, the mines were shut down and everything, and they got government mutton.
Oh.
Yeah. He said it was so bad, they literally gave it to their dog, and their dog wouldn't eat it. Wow. And because of that, we never had lamb. And I was eating that last night, and I was thinking, now I know what he means about the mutton, where it's got a certain taste. And, I mean, you're a phenomenal cook. Tremendous. Mm. Tremendous. Mm, and the seasoning was great. The seasoning part was good. But it was just, I couldn't even finish it. It's like I was thinking about him talking about that mutton.
I hear that.
They used to have. And that's why that's the one animal we didn't eat. We ate every animal that walked on the face of the earth.
That is so weird, John.
Okay.
Because my mom, same thing. They grew up in a big family, didn't have a lot of money, so they ate everything.
Yes.
But they never ate lamb.
Isn't that something?
My mom could not do it.
But I wonder if they ever had that mutton from the government.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
And it tasted so bad that spoiled them from ever having lamb ever again.
It was good. You definitely need a strong seasoning when you have lamb, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was, I thought it was good. I don't eat a lot of lamb. I haven't had lamb in years, but it was good. It was good.
Okay.
But I'm done with lamb for a little bit.
Me too. Yeah. And your cooking aspect and your seasoning is great.
Right on.
No question.
Spot on.
But you wouldn't order it.
No, I never eat it again. No disrespect.
Okay.
Take it off the menu when you open your restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. I have another leg. But I put it in the freezer.
Yeah,
I'm not bringing it to you guys. Okay,
you.
All right, I'll figure something else out.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I've learned. All right, there's other stuff. You know, Parmesan wings for the game Saturday.
Oh, my God.
I got to go to a party Saturday night.
Here's the guy.
I know.
Who said, here I am. I've covered the Green Bay Packers since 1984. I'm as much of a aficionado on the Green Bay Packers as anybody, right?
Yeah.
But you don't want me watching a game with you because I'd be distracting.
Right.
But yet here you are for this big game, biggest game the Packers have had in years.
I know.
And here you're going to be with other people.
Not long.
You're okay with that, but not with me.
I'm not going long.
How do you think that makes me feel?
Well, I didn't say that to make you feel bad. I'm saying it to make me feel bad because
where are you going then?
We bought.
Why don't you tell them I don't want to be distracted?
The Astor neighborhood, which is where I live, we have a wine tasting at someone's house, and it's a good neighborhood event. We have it every January, and I hosted it. I don't know 3 or 4 years ago, and it's fun. And usually you pick one house, white wine or red wine, and usually the houses are like really.
Wait a minute! In using your words, you're having a wine tasting party in the hood?
Not in the hood. Yeah.
In the hood. Okay.
It's on Madison. Is that on Madison? I just read that. 617.
I got a text. I know Jim will rip me for this, but I loved my grandma, but not the chunks of tomatoes in chili or the head cheese she would serve. Yeah.
Oh my God.
My dad used to make head cheese.
That Sultz, right?
Head cheese?
Right. Isn't that same Sultz?
Is it what?
Sultz.
Sultz. What's Sultz?
Head cheese. Sultz. Like if you go to, let's say you go out to a meat market and you ask for Sultz, which is
Sultz?
Sultz.
S-U-L-T-E.
S-Y.
I have never heard that word.
Me either.
Okay.
What is it?
It's head cheese. It's right. There's pork in there, vinegar.
It's pork and some kind of a gelatinous kind of thing.
Right. That's the same thing.
Sultz?
Yeah.
Never heard of Sultz.
Oh, come on. Now,
there's not a single human being listening to us that's ever heard the word Sultz.
Totally untrue. That is more popular than head cheese.
Sultz? What is Sultz?
It's head cheese.
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Have you ever made that?
Dad used to make head cheese.
And maybe because we were Germans, but they called it Sultz, but that's what it is.
I'd have it on what we
crackers,
call oven
right?
bread, like homemade bread with butter and mustard.
Yep. I can hear that. That's good.
Sultz?
Yeah,
it's pork. What the heck is Sultz?
Okay, man,
nobody's ever heard of Sultz.
Ever have blood soup?
No.
My mom made that, too.
Chinine.
Really?
Chinine. That's called chinine.
Of course
it is. Is that a German thing?
No, it's Polish.
Okay.
Blood soup. Duck blood, right?
I don't know what kind of blood it is.
No, it was duck blood soup.
Okay, that sounds really gross.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't make me lamb or blood soup. Yeah. Hey, let's never have one of those things.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Special report, the Iowa caucuses. I'm Dave Packer. A historic win for former President Trump.
We want to thank the great people of Iowa. Thank you. We love you all.
Winning last night's Iowa caucuses by the largest margin ever. ABC's M. Nguyen is in Des Moines with what motivated caucus goers.
On the issues most important to Iowa caucus goers, the economy was number one, followed closely by immigration, issues Trump has made central to his platform, helping him finish Iowa with more than 50%. Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley far behind. DeSantis invested heavily in Iowa, visiting all 99 counties, holding more campaign events than Haley and Trump combined. Many experts called Iowa a make-or-break moment for his campaign, as recent polls showed Haley gaining ground.
Next stop, New Hampshire, with a January 23rd primary. It could be less decisive for Trump, given that independents and undeclared voters can participate there. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are to be put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. Public health experts say misinformation is contributing to a dangerous decline in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Dr. Monica Wang is with Boston University's School of Public Health. She says lies about vaccines spread faster than the truth.
Health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
At the same time, cases of COVID, flu, and RSV are in the rise in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is bitterly cold out there this morning, and that is going to be the case for a pretty good chunk of the day today. Wind chill minus 25 to minus 35. It'll be mostly cloudy, breezy, high of 1 above today. Tonight, 2 below, but not as windy. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, with a high right around 8. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below zero.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start, and it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, a message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt, and together we're Mino and the Mayor on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
As our audience grows, we're looking to find an experienced outside marketing professional to join our civic media team to work with local business owners who want to grow.
Not only does WGBW reach qualified radio listeners, we help business owners reach customers on their mobile phones, tablets, even on screens at the gas pump.
The person who joins our team needs to be as motivated as we are to bring great local radio to Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. Someone with a creative streak and no fear of introducing themselves and us to the Green Bay business community.
If you're listening to us now, imagine how many others are and how we can help business owners reach the customers they want to do business with.
To apply, email me directly. My name is Chris Morrow, Vice President of Sales. My email address is chris.moreau@civicmedia.us. chris.moreau@civicmedia.us.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. We got a text here that says another thing. Cannibal sandwiches, not my favorite either.
Okay,
I could never eat a cannibal. I can't eat raw meat.
Oh, my God. We used to, that was the delicacy at our house.
But is that, like, dangerous? Don't you get, like, trigonosis or something from that, Todd?
I never heard of that.
I'm not sure what you get, but
no.
Yeah.
You get something.
No, you don't get anything. I've eaten it for years. You get, this is, the,
no. There's a lot of deaths.
No.
That people are not sure what they
this
came
is, by. So, okay, let me
all right,
explain.
Hang on. We got a special guest on.
All right.
We're talking about the Packers and Lions, and I, of course, grew up in the UP, and Lions fans, Packer fans pretty much hate each other all football season, okay? Very, very fervent fans, very loyal fans, but for the Packers and the Lions to both be in the playoffs right now at the same time is unprecedented. And like I said, when I worked in Flint, I used to cover the Lions, yeah. And they hated the Packers and yada, yada, yada. But we've got Steve Brownlee, the sports editor of the Marquette Mining Journal. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Steve, you, having been in the media myself for a lot of years, the fans are never shy to express their opinion if they feel like their team is being slighted in some way. What's it like trying to ride that middle ground between – and Steve, help me on this. We were talking about this yesterday. I would say that, like, around, like, Munising – or Newberry, or Manistique, everything east is about 60 to 70% Lions fans. Everything west, about the same Packer fans. What would you say?
I'd say that's pretty close, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, actually, if you get all the way over towards Ironwood at the very west end,
yeah,
you start picking up some Minnesota Vikings fans.
Really?
Well, they're pretty quiet now.
But, yeah.
But hey, when we look at the UP, right, which I think Wisconsin should own that, but we don't. So the 300,000 people that are up there, Steve, what's the split of all those people? Because, I mean, there's different size cities. But if you take that.
Packers versus Lions?
Right. 300,000 people. Is it 50-50 or is it a lot more Packer fans?
I would say at this point in time, it's definitely more Packer fans.
Yeah. Okay.
Our local TV station had to make a choice a few years ago between whether they'd be primarily Packer or Lion Network. And I don't think it was a very tough choice for them to pick the Packers. But I think part of that has to do with the fact that the Lions have been not very good for a long time.
Right.
And the Packers have been really good. And I'm curious that if this trend that's going on just for this one year continues, you know, if maybe the balance would get closer to 50-50 again.
Yeah. Well, it almost seems like some Lion fans maybe were a little bit under the covers, so to speak, and right. Now all of a sudden, you know, they're coming out and wearing their jerseys.
Yeah, there was I can't remember the guy's name, but we received some report about a guy kind of in that Manistique, Newberry-type area, and he's like a Lion super fan, and they invited him down to Ford Field, and he was, you know, wearing – he almost looked like a – I don't know, like Halloween costume type thing, I guess you would call it. And so there are definitely some Lions, hardcore Lions fans up here. But there's a lot. I mean, for every one of those, there's probably like 5 or 10 Packer fans.
Well, in Marquette County especially. I mean, that's pretty much diehard Packer fans. Well, although I shouldn't say that. I mean, I had so many kids that I went to high school with that were Lions fans, too. I mean, I'll tell you what, yeah. I put up with so much crap when I'd go back up there after the Tony Mandrich draft versus Barry Sanders. I mean, they never, to this day, they probably don't let Packer fans forget that one, right?
I was going to say, well, you know, us Lions fans don't have much to latch on to.
Oh, what listen to this. Us Lions fans.
I heard that.
Don't let go.
I actually wrote that down.
Where are you from, Steve? What's your hometown?
My hometown is Saginaw, originally.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so you're, okay. Wow,
so I'm a troll.
Yeah, you are.
You probably know about that.
I used to do TV in Flint. Actually, our mark was Flint, Saginaw, Bay City at WJRT TV, Channel 12
yeah, the
in
ABC
Flint.
Station, right?
Yep. Me and Ed Phelps, if you remember that name.
So, Steve, as a sports editor up there in Marquette for the Marquette Mining Journal, are the fans? Is it like down here? Is there a lot of free advice up there from the fans?
To the media? No, I don't think so. The U-pers pretty much keep their mouths shut. They don't express their opinions very often, right, Steve?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, sure.
They're pretty
I did
much
have
quiet.
A guy called me one time that said, you know, you shouldn't be the sports editor. You're not a Packer fan. I go, well, you know, when I write my columns about it, I'm very open about it. And I let, you know, so people know I'm not just like, you know, trying to undermine the Packers thing, you know, so I'm not a Packers fan. I don't really hate them or anything like that. But unlike some people, you know, who have one side or the other, they have to, you know, live or die with.
That's got to be tough, though, right? I mean, you grew up, right? You're a kid at one time. You must have had a love for, you know, I mean, I don't know that I could be an impartial sports person. I don't know that I could be impartial on a whole lot of stuff, quite honestly. But
could be if you were like in Oklahoma or something. But you don't care.
That's what I'm saying. He grew up, right? Well, he grew up in Saginaw, but still, you grew up surrounded by.
Well, what was big down there was the Michigan and Michigan.
Yeah.
State.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I always found just for myself, say, like, the one thing I remember was always watching the Detroit Tigers. And I would much rather watch a impartial national broadcast of a game rather than just the local guys. And it's probably partly because I can see them so many times. And I like to see what that kind of national, you know, what the national media,
their perspective,
or the national focus, what they think of the team. You know, it doesn't have to be a Detroit Tiger, it could be the Green Bay Packers, you know.
Did you grow up watching Tiger games with George Calvin, Al Kaline?
George. I remember when Al first started as a broadcaster, and he was terrible. But he got good, you know, fairly quickly. You know, he came on because, you know, of course, his reputation.
He was Al Kaline.
Exactly. And George, I mean, was, you know, he had been a broadcaster, you know, from as far back as I could remember, and he had that. Was it a Kentucky or
Georgia,
West Virginia,
Georgia,
was it Georgia? Yeah. That drawl, that just, it was like a comforting voice, you know, and of course Ernie Harwell too on the radio.
Oh my gosh. Ernie Harwell is one of my favorite human beings in the world. And, I've had him on my show. I'll never forget this time. Ernie Harwell, I said, Ernie, do me a favor. Tell me like one little known story about the Tigers. And you're like, well, let me tell you something. I'll tell you. And I did a thing where I throw out a name and it said, give me a little synopsis. And he would do it. He goes, I don't know if you go far back enough, Steve, but remember Ray Oyler?
The name sounds familiar. Yeah. But I don't really remember exactly.
He hit like 180. Good shortstop, but he hit like 180. Okay. It's like, Ray Oyler goes, hey, let me tell you a little something about Ray
Oyler. Awesome,
one time he comes to bat with two outs in the inning. And Dick McAuliffe was on deck. And Dick McAuliffe walked out to the on-deck circle with his glove instead of a bat.
Man, some of those guys just
live
it. Oh,
Ernie Harbaugh was the best.
Yeah. Wow.
But you're right about Al Kaline. Al Kaline was the most beloved sports figure in Michigan. One of the all-time great beloved sports figures, wasn't he?
Yes, he definitely was.
I mean, just
when Bo Schembechler, and I was always a Michigan State fan, so I didn't have.
Oh, wow.
When he took over as the athletic director, or excuse me, as the, like the head GM or whatever, the Tigers.
Yeah.
And he got rid of Ernie.
Yeah.
As the, you know.
That was unbelievable.
I remember those shirts that they said, Bo don't know Ernie.
Yeah.
You know, remember the old Bo Jackson ones?
Yeah.
I think I may still have one of those shirts somewhere around here.
And, you know, we used to almost like make fun of Kaline because it's like, George Kelby, and there's a line drive by Larry Herndon, bounces off the left field wall, rolls in Herndon into second base with a stand-up double. Al, what'd you think of that? Larry Herndon hit it off the wall and rounded first and got to second base for a stand-up double. That's right, Al! Is that pretty cool, Steve?
Kind of playing way second fiddle.
So were you there for the Bad Boys?
What's that now?
Were you there for the Bad Boys?
Oh, for the Pistons?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was like late 80s.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I remember that. Well, actually, I had never appreciated Dick Vitale, and now he's kind of beloved because I thought he just, you know, kind of ran that team into the ground.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. He got out of there, and he found his
niche,
his calling in broadcasting, but he wasn't much of a coach for the Pistons. Set him back. I thought he set him back like 20 years.
He was a terrible NBA coach.
They won the NBA title.
What high school did you go to?
It was Eisenhower High School.
Oh, yeah, I know Eisenhower.
Under that name anymore.
Absolutely. I know all those. We got another one here. Mark the Bird Fidrich. What a summer that was.
Yes.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yes. That was, yeah, 76. Yep. I was, I think that was between my eighth grade and freshman years in high school. So that was quite, and that was probably, that was in an era when, of course, there was, we had no, I learned when I came to the UP that they had cable TV up there much sooner than we did downstate.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, up in the UP, you can't, basically, you couldn't get TV if you didn't have cable.
No, exactly. You know,
so they just made the leap.
Apart.
Yeah.
I remember Channel 50. Down there,
you could, yeah, you could pick them all up. And yeah. So we just had those limited number of, very limited number of games and then a couple of national games.
You know,
it was, he was quite the, quite was, the guy, especially because that team had been on a downturn for a few years.
Yeah. I was playing fast pitch softball in that summer. And okay. if Fidrich was pitching, we would postpone the game for a different day because it was such an event to watch him pitch. I mean, that's how big he was. That's how big of a phenomenon he was.
Yes. They have a special when the Tigers have had rain delays just about the bird, you know,
yeah.
Play for like an hour. And I had forgotten, they threw some of the numbers out there. He had something like 1 year, he had like 15 complete games.
Yeah.
And he pitched into the 10th inning three or four or five times. It was just crazy. You know, that's, unfortunately, that's what wrecked his arm. But
he was, you know, that was one of the biggest phenoms I've ever seen in sports.
Yes. Yes. And it was because he was such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
You know, it was all a very, it was easy to tell it was an honest thing. It wasn't.
Absolutely. It wasn't like some phony sort of gimmick. No.
No.
So, Steve, let me ask you this, as far as between Packers and Lions fans. Mm-hmm. Like, in Marquette County, how would you split it?
In Marquette County?
Yeah.
I would say it's probably close to two-thirds Packer fans,
okay.
I would say.
But the further east you go, it dwindles a little bit more that way, right?
Yeah, because, you know, when you start getting over towards Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like a quick trip up, you know, I-75 from Detroit, you know.
Right, yeah.
All up to the Sault Ste. Marie. And it's real easy. All you got to do is get over the Mackinac Bridge and, you know,
yeah,
another 50 miles and you're in the Sioux.
Yeah.
So, Steve, you know, as the sports editor, right, for one of the Marquette Mining, right, that's who you work
Mining
for?
Mining Journal.
Mining Journal, yeah.
So
yeah.
You're a homie, right? I mean, that's, you were born in Saginaw, raised there. You've lived there for your whole life. Like, is
I've
it...
never lived outside of Michigan, right?
Cool.
That's a homie. So is it hard to be an impartial, or do you not pride yourself on being impartial, or do you take a side?
Well, you know, I tell people, and this probably angers all the Lions fans every time I say this, but I, because it's true, I say I'm as much a fan of the Detroit Lions as you could be for a team that until 2 days ago had won one playoff game in my lifetime.
Right.
They were playing it actually during that broadcast on Sunday night. Al Michaels, I think, came on and said something like, if you're less than 65 years old, you've only seen the Lions ever win one playoff game.
Yeah.
Wow. I go, yes, that's exactly what I say, because that's,
but you know,
so, you know, and I figured our other Detroit teams have had a fair amount of success.
Right.
So I'm willing to pay for it with the Lions not being any good forever.
I will say this. It's about 100% Tigers fans in the UP, wouldn't you say? I mean, there's no like Brewers fans.
No, actually had I have a good friend of mine who grew up in Marquette, and he is a diehard Brewers fan.
Really?
And it's he now lives in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, not Sheboygan, Michigan, where, as you guys
right,
say,
with a C.
How to spell it correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he lives in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And because of him, I've come down and visited, and I've been to, now I can, is it American Family Field? Is that the correct name now?
Yeah.
I have a hard time keeping
track. I know, it's changed about three times over the last 10 years.
Right.
But it's kind of like,
I still call it Miller Park.
And it's kind of like Candlestick Park. I mean, that's
what it is.
They can pay all they want, but
yeah.
It's still, you're right, John.
Exactly.
It's still Miller Park.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, but so it is American
I've been to
Field.
That park probably at least a half a dozen to maybe 10 times, whereas I have yet to go to Comerica Park. I've been to Tiger Stadium, but.
Oh, the old Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
Corner of, what was it, Trumbull and.
Corner of. Michigan and Trumbull.
There you go. Hey, Steve, can you stick around for a few more minutes? We're going to set a quick break.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Steve Brownlee, sports editor of the Marquette Mining Journal. He is in the heart of the Packer-Lions rivalry this week. Back with more right after this.
Looking for the love. Get away. Headed for the love.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
We all make resolutions this time of year. And let's face it, most of them won't stick. But here's one that's not only easy to keep, but it'll help you feel healthier all year long. Navage. Navage provides quick, drug-free nasal relief by washing saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out of the other nostril. This time of year, when everyone is sick, Navage helps by sucking out germs, bacteria, and viruses trapped in our noses that cause us to feel miserable. And come allergy season, it does the same with dust, pollen, and other allergens. And unlike medications that can take time to help, if they're effective at all, Navage helps treat congestion symptoms in seconds flat, without drugs. This New Year's, resolve to use drug-free Navage to help you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Love Shack, baby.
Love Shack, baby.
Love Shack, that's where it's at. Love Shack.
Welcome back, WGBW. Mine on the Mayor. We have a very special guest with us, Steve Brownlee, who is the sports editor for Marquette Mining Journal. We're kind of talking a little bit about the, not a little bit, a lot of it about the Packer-Lions rivalry, and you know that's an odd part of the United States because it looks like it should be part of Wisconsin, yet it's owned by Michigan. And up there, there's about 300,000 people, and Steve was saying they really skew towards the Tigers when it comes to baseball, but when it comes to the NFL, you got kind of a split up there, depending on exactly where you live.
Hey, Steve, we just got a text here. Northern Michigan men's basketball, 6-0 in conference play, exclamation point.
Yes, they're working on just Saturday. They extended their win streak to 9 games.
Wow.
The same guy hit the buzzer beater Thursday, and then he made a shot with like 1.5 seconds to go that gave him the 4-point lead that they held off. So they got quite a team, and they had the conference player of the year last year.
Wow.
And graduated, and they're still doing that well this year. So
hey, you know who we had on the show the other day? It was Bernie Anderson.
He's awesome.
Bernie, yes.
I talk about Matt LaFleur.
Actually, when I was at the Houghton paper, and then I came down, and later he came down to Northern, and he was interesting because he was at Michigan Tech, which you know is a very
right.
esteemed academic institution, and they kind of used to say, well, that was why they couldn't have good sports teams because they couldn't draw in the
right.
good athletes. Well, he turned that on its head, and I remember one year I received this press release about how Michigan Tech had signed like 8 valedictorians for their football team. But these were guys who were like, they were talented in football and
academic.
In the classroom.
Wow.
They could go anywhere they wanted, but they wanted to come to Tech. And he got them to go there. And so he turned to put around a program that I think twice was on its deathbed.
Well, you know, we were talking about when he hired Matt LaFleur at Northern.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yes.
Is that amazing, though? I mean, we're talking about that, Jim. It's like, head coach for the
right.
Jets went to Northern. Yeah. Matt LaFleur, Northern. I mean, it's incredible.
Yep. Just don't tell anybody they went 0-11 this year, though.
Yeah, Northern. Oh, my God, their football program. What happened,
you were
huh?
saying that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know exactly, and I found out something kind of basically by accident. There was a, I don't know if you heard about, there was a player from Ewan, the little town of Ewan.
Yes.
Bruce
Cox. He's like 6'8" or something and went to the combine and just like broke every record, right?
Yep. And he was one of two division two players drafted in the entire NFL draft last April. So a couple of guys that had gone to Northern and left a year ago because they changed coaches, they're coming back and they want to go through the same program he did in Marquette, thinking, maybe they can get drafted. Well, these guys are like All-Americans at these schools that they transferred to. They left Northern. So there's like two potential All-Americans that transferred out of Northern and, unfortunately left their cupboard bare.
Wow.
They unfortunately had 4 games where they gave up at least 60 points.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to follow that.
Defensive players.
And I grew up with Northern. When I grew up, I was in high school, Steve Mariucci was the quarterback for Northern.
Right, Mooch, yep.
Right,
yep. Exactly.
And that whole bunch. But you talk about, I don't know if any of our listeners care about this, but When I was covering sports in the Flint Saginaw area, people have no idea how great high school basketball was. Flint Northwestern, that I covered back then, had three guys that were number one draft picks in professional sports. Andre Rison, number one draft pick in the NFL. Glenn Rice, number one draft pick in the NBA. And Jeff Greer, number one draft pick by the Bucks in the NBA. Three guys on one team, number one draft picks. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's just, and you know, there's, I just wonder about that. There was, I don't know if you remember when Ishpeming had these great football teams about 10 years ago.
Of course, yep.
And one of the years they got down to the state championship, well, they got down to the state championship game like five times, but the first time they got down there when they won against this Detroit team. They had a guy as their nose tackle. He was a sophomore and weighed like 275, and he ended up being a first-round draft pick, I think, of Seattle.
Yeah.
Although he didn't really pan out for them, but, you know, he was regarded that highly. And here's like little almost Class D Ishpeming, you know, small Class C school going up against these guys like this. And
yeah, it was that Detroit team they play. I think it was Detroit Loyola.
Yeah,
and I had the Ishpeming's head coach on talking about it. And
Jeff Olson, yeah.
Yes, and they had like a fourth and one to like, you know, milk the clock. They're going to win this game on fourth and one on like their own 35-yard line or something like that.
They were actually, I wrote a story on that at the state championship. They're in about their own 20.
Okay.
And there's like a minute and a half to go. And it was fourth down and they didn't know whether they wanted to go for it. And they thought, everybody thought they were kind of, he was like, you know, pulling, you know, trying to do mind games on the other team because he like called timeout twice in a row.
Yeah.
And he told me after the game, he says, no, I couldn't decide what I wanted to do because they were like at their own 20. And finally, I guess some of the players came and said, coach, you got to go for it. You got to go for it. And he said he had kind of an epiphany at that point. He said, look, I may never come down here again. So, you know, you got to go with the chance, you know, take the chance when you have the ability to do it. So he decided then they were going to go for it.
And they won the
state
championship.
145-pound center who was going up against that 275-pound nose tackle from Loyola. But he got underneath him.
Yeah.
And so he was able to kind of, you know, knock him on his rear end.
Yeah. Hey, coach, the coach told me this here. He said he told the kid, he says, listen, you might only be, I think he said 150, and he's like twice your weight, right? He goes, yeah, coach says, but all I want you to do is worry about from his waist down and hit him in the knees. You're the same size. From his waist down, you're the same size.
The guy's like, yeah, okay.
Yep. And he did it. Yep, that was amazing. Tragic story, of course. His son played football down here at St. Norbert and committed suicide and everything. And he's been such an advocate for helping young kids with mental health issues. What a wonderful gentleman, isn't he, though?
He is. He really is, yes. And his son, you know, I had seen him play. He played every sport and every season. And I would have never guessed that. So, you know, that's something that people always have to keep in mind. It's, you know, not like the people who are brooding and, you know, you expect that kind of, you know, it could be this kid was, he was playing basketball and they had a guy on their team was like 6'6" and was looked like he could have been a nose tackle on somebody's football team. And he, Jeff's son, who was like probably literally 5'6", he was a small guy. They basically ran their heads into each other by accident, you know, going after a loose ball. And the big guy knocked four teeth out of his mouth.
Wow.
And so his son came over to the bench and sat down, and they put the towel in his mouth or whatever they did. And then he came back in the game on the next whistle.
He was tough as nails.
And the other guy, he like left the court and went to the local hospital. We heard later that they had to go in and like pull out two of the teeth from his scalp.
Oh my gosh. Hey, Steve,
and then he walked back into the
Steve,
gym,
thank you so much. Sure enjoyed this.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Even when The weather outside is frightful. Your energy bill could be much more delightful. Replacing drafty windows and doors can dramatically lower your energy costs. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin's energy-efficient windows keep the cold outside where it belongs. You'll help kick the January blues when you choose to book by the 31st for 0% interest up to 36 months. You heard that right. No interest for up to 36 months if you book by January 31st. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.